your paths or make your paths straight. But when you get beyond the surface of what these verses are saying, these verses are designed to make a very profound point. He wanted his son to understand that if he wanted God to direct his life in a way that was straight and true, he needed to learn to totally rely on the Lord. As we will see, this exhortation implies a tremendous dependence and also a tremendous challenge. Now, the word that's used for trust in the Lord with all your heart, conveys the idea of having enough confidence in something that you throw yourself on it, cast yourself on it. They have these new things now, these new trampoline things that a lot of people are putting in their backyards. They're kind of cool. They now make a thing where it kind of blocks the kids from flying off and busting their necks on the ground. And those are neat. But the idea here behind the word is you trust that trampoline, you plunge on it. I mean, you put all of your weight on that thing and you completely trust that you're not gonna, that this is the way to go. It's gonna hold you. It's gonna hold your weight. It's gonna be safe for you. That's the word that's used here. You put your weight, you put your trust, in the Lord. Now, what Solomon is teaching his son is that the key to having God lead you and guide you in His way is it starts with trusting Him. It begins with trusting the Lord, casting your weight, having your faith in Him. And when he says, trust God with all of your heart, the idea is you trust Him with your whole person. You trust Him with your intellect. You trust Him with your emotion. You trust Him with your will. You place an active confidence in the Word of God and in the will of God. Do not trust your own emotions. Do not trust your own reason. Do not trust your own decisions that you would typically make. He's saying, I want you to put God at the center of everything that you think and everything that you do. And we are fallible. We are finite. We're prone to make error. But he's saying you need to learn to rely upon God. Now, when Solomon says, do not lean to your own understanding, he's using this particular clause as an antithetic parallelism, the antithesis of you place all of your trust in the Lord. This is not an exhortation to stop thinking. When he says, lean not on your own understanding, this is not an exhortation Solomon's giving his son, which I'll show you in a moment, to let your mind go in neutral and just become some mystical glazed headed mindless monk. That's not the idea here. In fact, as we shall see, this really, when he says, do not lean on your own understanding, is an awesome challenge to use our minds when you see what he's getting at. What he means is this. You become so aware of your own lack, so aware of your own inability in yourself, and so dependent on God that in every circumstance of life, you move in His direction. You move depending on Him, not self. You move in accordance with His Word. You recognize that God is the one who will lead us in the paths that are right. We acknowledge His sovereign providence in every area and situation of life. We realize that God is the one who can take me through this. God is the one who can actually bless this. Now, I want you to carefully notice the next clause. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That is a remarkable challenge to every believer. And when you quote this verse next time, I want you to think about what this challenge is. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. The Hebrew word that is used here for acknowledge is a particular Hebrew word that means to be knowledgeable as opposed to being ignorant. You could sum it up this way. In all your ways, you have such a knowledge of the Word of God that you can lean to it. You can lean God's way and not your way. In every situation of life, in every circumstance of life, you have such a grasp of the Word of God that you can, in any given decision, not lean your own way according to your own understanding, but you lean according to the Word and will of God and His understanding. That is the challenge that Solomon is setting forth for his son. He's saying, son, I want you to go after the understanding of the Word of God to such a level that no matter what the topic, no matter what the subject, no matter what the choice is in life, you can actually make a choice dependent upon the Word of God and the will of God and not lean in your own understanding. Don't toss a coin yourself. You can actually think through all the biblical principles that are necessary to think through and then make the decision. That's being led of God. Dr. Bruce Waltke said, trust God entirely. That is, with all your heart. Trust God exclusively, not relying upon yourself. And trust God extensively in every situation of life. And the person who's willing to do that receives a wonderful promise, and he'll make your paths straight. Or he'll direct your paths. That word direct in some translations has to do with the idea of making paths straight. The idea of making paths straight is the idea of God going before us, and in the midst of problems and pressures, He one by one takes the obstacles out of the way. The obstacles may be there, but He just moves step by step. And as we're relying upon Him, not relying upon ourselves, He's going before us and leading us to great blessing and leading us to the place where He wants us to be. He straightens things out. He leads us in the way that He wants us to go when we're beginning to think in these terms of trusting Him and acknowledging Him in every situation of life. Those are wonderful, wonderful benefits. The fourth benefit is a proper attitude regarding self and God will lead to a healthy physical and spiritual life. Verses 7 to 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Now, this exhortation is closely connected to the preceding one, that you're not relying upon yourself, but you're relying upon God. The exhortation to understand the Word of God. This is really an appeal against self-centered, self-confident attitude. The danger of success and prosperity is that one can forget about who gave them the success and prosperity. And the challenge here, quite simply, when you look at verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, turn away from evil, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones, is if you find yourself gaining the wisdom of God, you find yourself starting to move forward and God's doing things for you, don't forget about the true source of this. Don't forget about it's God that's doing this. It's God that's blessing. It's God that's allowing these things to happen. Don't lose sight of that. Don't get caught up in your own perspective of things. Do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't think that it's just your skill, your prowess, your ability that's making this all happen. This is coming from God. He wanted His own son to realize that. Now, Solomon's king of Israel, and certainly as king of Israel, he had accomplished a lot. He had a lot. And he wanted his son to realize, I want you to know this, son, that what I have is from the Lord. And I don't want you to think that I just got it because I'm so smart or shrewd. It was wonderful things that God did by relying upon Him. Self-conceit and self-reliance are evil to God. Now, if a person will fear the Lord and turn away from evil, it'll be health to their body and refreshment to their bones. And those words are words that have to do with physical health. You have to be careful with this, but ladies and gentlemen, I believe there are some people who are physically ill because they're not serious about God. Now, that's not to say every person that's physically ill is not serious about God. God uses illness as a means of taking people home. God uses physical problems as a means of getting us to depend more on His grace. The Apostle Paul had some physical infirmity. God didn't heal it. Epaphroditus was a man sold out to the work of the Lord. He got sick, nearly died because of exhaustion, and that was not due to any spiritual lack. But having said all of that, there are situations where people are dabbling in things they shouldn't be dabbling in, and God says, fine, I'm going to start pulling the plug on some issues that pertain to health. And when He says here, it will be healing to your bones and refreshment to your bones, that word or those words there would indicate not only will this have some effect, but it will also have some effect on your nerves, on your nervous system. There will be some type when a person pursues the wisdom of God and is moving away from that which is sinful, there's some medicinal effect here. There's some physical effect that not only has some psychological, but also some physiological invigoration. There's actually a healing that takes place from this. That's what Solomon is teaching his own son. There's real mental and spiritual blossoming that takes place. There's something that's very real that happens. I just recently had an opportunity to share these principles with someone that, look, I would just recommend you get under the Word of God, get with God's people on a regular basis. This can have a real positive effect on your physical being. There's something that happens that's strengthening when God's people get together. They are singing the praises of God, they're worshiping together, they're in the Word of God together. I mean, this has a profound effect upon the individual. Solomon's teaching that right here to his own son. You fear the Lord. You go after the wisdom of God. You lean His way. And there will be, typically speaking, a life that you'll live that will be long and healthy. And it will be a life of great blessing. That's what he's teaching his son. And the final element is a proper attitude about financial prosperity, and God will lead to great prosperity. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I think Solomon knew one of the great tests of whether or not a person is really willing to trust God in every area of life is the test of finances. A person who is really leaning, not in his own way, but leaning in the Lord's way, will be one that has a heart and wants to give systematically, lovingly, proportionately, joyfully, cheerfully to the Lord. That'll be something that comes out of that person's heart. They'll just want to do that. And the idea of honoring the Lord here is the idea of weight. So when it's used in relationship to this concept, it's talking about make sure that we honor the Lord and give Him the proper weight of what we can give Him by way of offerings here. We're to give God the proper weight of all of the wealth that we have due Him. Now, the difficulty is determining, you know, what we need to keep for ourselves and what we need to give to the Lord. Sometimes people will ask me, and I just say, that's not my business. That's your business. You get alone with God, and you ask God to lay on your heart what that is, and then you do that. And I tell that to people and husbands and wives. You can't come up with a set percentage. If you do that, this thing gets crazy. Because if you say, okay, let's say 10%, that you should give to the Lord, well, 10% of a person making $100 a week is a big sacrifice. That's $10 a week. He only has 90 to live on. But you take a guy who's making $10,000 a week, 10% is $1,000 a week, he still has $9,000 a week. I mean, for him to be at the same level of sacrifice, the guy giving $10 a week, he'd have to be giving who knows what. I mean, only an individual can figure it out. So that's why in the New Testament dispensation, we don't set percentages. What I like to tell people is, you get alone with God, you ask the Lord, but apply the principle. Apply the principles that God has set forth in His Word, and He has promised to bless. That's what He's promised to do. Now, the first fruits of your increase would be, to Solomon's son, part of the obligatory law, the first fruits offering, and God demanded that first fruit, right off the top, be brought to him from the first produce that came out. And Solomon is teaching his son that if you continually do that, if you continually give your money, which would include your grain, your animals, your grapes, you give to God what you should be giving to God, then God will see to it that He will abundantly prosper you. Now, there's one point that I want to stress in this, and that is, notice carefully, honor the Lord from your wealth. The point that needs to be stressed here is that the motivation for giving is to honor the Lord, not to get more. This becomes a critical issue. R.G. Letourneau, who himself was a multi-millionaire, who is, what a story. He started giving a percentage to God, and then he said, I got too much money, he upped that. And then he said, I still have too much money, he just kept upping it. I mean, until he was God just kept channeling him. R.G. Letourneau had an interesting statement that he made about money. He said, if you give because you think it pays, it won't pay. He said, but if you give because you're honoring the Lord, then you can expect that there will be some wonderful blessings. It's kind of like the man who gave his son-in-law a gift of $5,000 when he married his daughter. He told his other daughter that at the end of the wedding that he wanted her to go up to the son-in-law and hand him this check for $5,000. And so after the wedding was over, the father called his daughter's sister, and he said, did you give the son-in-law the money? And she said, yes, I did, Dad. And she said, well, what did he say? He said, he didn't say anything. He just, tears came down his eyes. He said, well, how long did he have tears? He said, oh, probably for a minute. He said, a minute? Well, that ingrate, I cried for an hour after I wrote the check. But the general principle is that God will increase those who are faithfully, consistently giving to Him and to His work. So Solomon is saying to his son, don't forget my teachings in any area of life. I want you to apply the wise teachings of God to all areas of your life. I want you to apply that to your personality. I want you to be a person who demonstrates mercy and truth. You be a person of truth, always tell the truth, but also be a person who can lean to mercy. You'll find good favor in the sight of God and man. I want you to have such a grasp of the Word of God and such a trust in the Lord that when you're faced with decisions, you don't lean on your own understanding, but you acknowledge Him. You're able to think through and acknowledge the Word and will of God, and you go that way. Even when you may not even understand all the ramifications of it. You lean not to your own understanding, but walk in what God would have you to do. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It'll bring health to you. And finally, honor the Lord with everything you have. Solomon said, you choose to live life that way, and wonderful blessings, a fulfilled and meaningful life will be yours. You'll not only have of prosperity in things that are physical, but you'll have prosperity in things that are spiritual. All right, any questions about what we've covered here tonight?